Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the Yellowstone region, bringing you the headlines for the day. I'm Carl Engel, your host. It's the 15th of July, 2026, a Wednesday. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, along with the governors of Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming, announced Tuesday a proposal to return the federal management of grizzly bears to state governments. Montana Public Radio's Clayton Murphy reports.
In the wind of Gallatin County, U.S. Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, joined by Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, Idaho Governor Brad Little, and Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon, said grizzly bears have recovered and far exceeded every federal recovery benchmark. Under the proposed change, grizzly bears will remain listed as an endangered species in the lower 48. Gianforte said the change will not allow a hunting season for grizzlies. The announcement comes at a time of turmoil for grizzly bears and the Endangered Species Act as a whole. Last week, the DOI removed the definition of harm from the list of actions prohibited by the Act. The Act defined harm as significant environmental modification or degradation of a protected species habitat. In Missoula, I'm Clayton Murphy.
A Montana electricity utility regulator accused of misconduct is contesting his suspension from the Public Service Commission. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Public Service Commissioner Brad Molnar filed a lawsuit in Lewis and Clark County District Court Monday to stop the governor from appointing his replacement during a one-year suspension without pay. Molnar is an elected commissioner representing South Central Montana. Commissioners are each paid more than $100,000 annually over four-year terms. Public Service Commission employees have initiated two independent investigations into Molnar's behavior and submitted two suspension requests since he took office last year. Governor Greg Gianforte's suspension email Thursday details some employee allegations, including unwelcome sexual comments, attempts to prevent corrective action, and continued retaliation against employees. Molnar's attorney, Matthew Monforton, says they haven't been given the opportunity to cross-examine witnesses.
Much of this is being blown out of proportion, and some of it is just simply false.
The suspension comes as commissioners deliberate the merger between Northwestern Energy and South Dakota-based Black Hills Corporation, a merger that would affect more than 500,000 Northwestern Energy customers in Montana. A spokesperson with Governor Gianforte's office says he's evaluating next steps for an appointment. Molnar and interveners, the Montana Farm Bureau and 350 Montana, argue appointing a new commissioner during the merger consideration would be a disservice to constituents. Molnar is asking the court to prevent the appointment. He's also seeking to challenge the allegations against him and return to his seat with full pay. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Wyoming has another confirmed case of measles in the northwest corner of the state. Tuesday, the Wyoming Health Department confirmed the fifth case of measles this year and the fourth in Teton County. The case is an adult with no identified links to the previous three Teton County cases. Measles is a highly contagious virus that can cause severe illness, including pneumonia, encephalitis, hospitalization, and death. Health officials stress that vaccination is the best way to prevent measles. Montanans on Medicaid are now required to show they're working or qualify for a wide range of exemptions. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports some people on Medicaid say the state hasn't been clear about when they should submit their paperwork.
Missoula resident Bethany Zulick recently decided she needed a career change. She kept thinking back to her time teaching English overseas.
It's so exciting to me to watch someone learn a new word or, you know, have that spark of understanding.
Zulick decided to go back to grad school to become a high school English teacher. Before she could take the leap, she needed to figure out how to maintain health insurance.
Because the student health insurance would have run me, you know, almost as much as my, like, tuition for the semester.
Zulick was grateful she was able to get on Medicaid because she could continue going to the dentist and seeing her doctor for allergies.
It really took the pressure off for me.
Up to 5,000 people every month will have to show they are meeting the state's new Medicaid work requirements, according to state health officials. People who aren't in compliance will have until October before they lose coverage. Zulick planned to submit paperwork for her exemption as a college student. She didn't expect that process to start until later this fall, but then she got a letter that confused her.
Some of the letter says that this information is due at my next recertification, and some of it says it's due within 30 days of the letter.
Policy watchers worry confusing letters like this one may lead to people losing coverage because they don't know if they need to take action. Zulick says she'll be spending her next day off from class calling the state's helpline to see what the state is asking her to do. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
The Department of Interior is proposing changes to oil and gas leasing rules in the name of unleashing energy. Environmental groups say these changes threaten environmental protections and limit public input. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more.
Federal officials are proposing to revise Bureau of Land Management regulations for new oil and gas leases. Companies must purchase these leases for any exploration and development on federal lands. Montana Wildlife Federation's Frank Zolasi says these proposed changes raise red flags.
We're concerned about, BLM folks green lighting leases in parcels that are sensitive wildlife habitat, important for connectivity and wildlife migration.
These changes include shortening the public participation period from 3 months to 10 days. They also significantly lower the initial bonds, which are financial obligations that companies have to put up to help cover the cost of closing those oil and gas wells. These bonds prevent taxpayers from covering the cost of cleaning up abandoned projects. A 2018 government study found almost all at-risk oil and gas wells lacked enough in bonds to cover those costs. Department of Interior Secretary Doug Burgum says these changes will benefit U.S. energy development by reducing red tape. Zolasi says these proposals risk sidestepping stakeholder input and damaging habitat in Montana. More than 29,000 acres of leases in Montana and North Dakota became available for purchase this month. The public can submit comments on the proposed changes until August 24th. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Montana State University Billings has named an interim athletic director. Tuesday, MSUB Chancellor Stephanie Hixwa named Andrew Bonner interim AD. Bonner has been in the university's athletics department for 7 years, most recently as associate athletic director for operations and communications. Hixwa said in the official announcement that Bonner will serve through June 2027, while the nationwide search for a new athletic director is underway. Bonner's current role will be filled temporarily by existing department employees. The MSUB AD position became vacant when Michael Basemore resigned to take the AD job at the University of Alaska Anchorage. Infighting continues in the Montana Republican Party as a new set of bylaws for party members comes under scrutiny in the district court. Montana Public Radio's Clayton Murphy reports.
A district court judge has issued a restraining order on the Montana Republican Party's new bylaws. Party leadership says the update is intended to unify the state GOP, while plaintiffs say it's an effort to exclude moderates and nonconformists from the Republican banner. The blocked bylaws include a mandatory $20 membership fee, a signed statement of support for the party, and a provision that allows the party to remove publicly elected members of GOP county precinct committees. The case was brought by some of those committees and Republican Representative Brad Barker from Red Lodge. The plaintiffs claim the bylaws give unfair power to party leadership. Lewis and Clark County District Judge Michael McMahon issued the restraining order last week. Plaintiffs and defendants now have 2 weeks to prepare briefings before Judge McMahon's final injunction decision. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Clayton Murphy.
Cash register politics is alive and well in the U.S., according to a new Public Citizen report. Eric Galatas with the Wyoming News Service has more.
After massive spending on political campaigns and lobbying, 88 corporations that took in $105 billion in pre-tax income last year paid no federal income taxes. Researcher Eileen O'Grady with Public Citizen says combined, these companies saw a 3,000% return on their investment by avoiding nearly $22 billion in taxes they would have had to pay if not for laws passed during the first and second Trump administrations. elections. And she says those savings allowed companies to spend even more to influence lawmakers.
So what we're seeing here is a self-reinforcing loop where corporate cash buys policy and policy pays cash back.
Proponents of tax cuts have long argued that companies can use those savings to grow their business and boost federal tax revenues by raising wages and creating jobs. Last year, businesses in Wyoming paid $252 million in federal income taxes. Wyoming residents, by comparison, paid more than 25 times as much, contributing $6.7 billion to the U.S. Treasury. I'm Eric Galatas.
The summer's bounty is showing up in farmers' markets across the region, and organic farmers are making a stronger showing. It's been a rough year for much of the ag industry, as farmers and ranchers are constantly challenged by higher costs, disruptions in the supply chains, and shifting markets. Nate Powell Palm is a first-generation organic farmer and owner and consultant for Cold Springs Organics, LLC, an 800-plus-acre certified organic grain cattle and flour milling operation. He is enthusiastic about the growth of organic farming across the Yellowstone region.
I think that there's always concern about how we are creating an ag economy that supports everybody, supports farmers of all sizes, but also supports young people coming back. Organic has a much better route than a lot of other types of agriculture. It's more profitable. We have more young people interested, but it's still it's a crazy capital game. There's a lot of money that it takes to start a farm, to keep a farm going. And that general anxiety with interest rates at 8 or 9% is always very, very present. I think the other piece that comes around is how much commonality all folks in agriculture have around consolidation and the concerns around consolidation. That if you only have one or two buyers or one or two processors who are calling the shots on how food gets from farm to consumer, no one in the supply chain has enough power except those two monopolies or duopolies. And so that concern was a highlight in our conference. And we had Austin Frerich, who wrote the book Barrens, present about just the general consolidation across the food supply chain. And I think it got folks fired up thinking about, okay, we have a lot of really great farmers, really great organic farmers in Montana. But what would it look like to expand the number of processors? How do we get more folks participating in the entire supply chain? And then ultimately, how are we setting the goalposts so that not only are we the biggest wheat growing state, but we're also the biggest wheat eating state as far as organic wheat goes? And looking at our own communities for health and how organic farming plays into improving the overall health of our communities. I think the focus on Make America Healthy Again has been really exciting for the organic community, because we're able to say, we've been doing this for the last 30 years and it works. You're all like, welcome to the party. Let's go. Let's really add some fuel to this fire. So that was a level of excitement that I think only comes from getting more folks into the room and more folks in the conversation.
Pal Palm is also inspired by organic growers' embrace of new ideas. And who comes up with those ideas?
When we look at the ability of for folks to take over their family operations, I think about a farm tour that the Montana Organic Association held this summer in late May. It was at Deacon Farms over in Conrad. And Michael Deacon's a first-generation Montanan, first-generation farmer, farming a couple of a few different crops. But the thing that struck me about this entire farm tour was that he had his 13-year-old son get up and give a presentation on how they did an open-source GPS system, which saved the farm a bunch of money, but also maximized a 13-year-old's potential and their contribution, and just like what an incredible asset young people can be to farming operations. And I think in a lot of ways, we look at young people as like cheap labor, you know, cheap tractor drivers. How do we, you know, get our cost of production down, rather than seeing them as little engineers to completely change the system that we're farming in and reimagine how we can do it better, more efficient, with more money for everybody to go around. And I thought that was just a great example of like the organic community at its best, just firing on all cylinders, having this 13-year-old say, this is how I did it, and this is how I'm going to help all of you do it too.
In Billings, I'm Carl Lengel. That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.